This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
It is hard to comprehend. I don't even have, quite frankly, George, the slightest idea what
he's talking about. First of all, it is absolutely disingenuous, as many have said.
Well, it's certainly no disrespect to anyone that's vegan or vegetarian.
Yes, there was a BB gun. I never threatened to shoot him.
I hate Jews,
and that's just the way it is.
Famous Phil Hendry Show since 1990, taking your ass to the edge of reality and beyond. The only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass each and every night. We go places where talk shows just don't dare to go. And we have great news this evening. If you have an Android phone, well, we want you to download the following program. Download Flash 10.1, for those of you with an Android phone, and you can watch us live right now on your phone. Just got the word. In fact, Rance just loaded it in, if you'll pardon the expression, and he is watching us right now on his Android. And as soon as we figure out what iPhone has to offer, well, we'll do that too, man, because we have been working diligently on making our live streaming video, which is on the internet right now at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Our live streaming video and our live streaming audio available to you via your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, your smartphone. And lo and behold, there is a Flash program now, Flash 10.1, so you can load it up and watch our live streaming video right now, man. So think of that. As you're driving in the car at night and you're watching our show, and here comes a truck, and, you know. So anyway, you know what I mean. So get over there and check it out. So now we got that one knocked, man. All we got to do is figure out iPhone, and we're home free, Jim. It's going to be a beautiful thing. We are online right now at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video, live streaming audio, and all of the archives you could ever possibly want. And that I know you can pick up on your mobile device, because I was listening to our latest downloads this weekend on my iPhone. We've got three brand new Classic Phil podcasts. One is called 333 Happy Lane. I don't remember all of the podcasts we have, but they're all over there at philhendryshow.com. Three new classic podcasts. We've got a possible this. I know we have a great announcement, but I don't know whether it'll be this week or next week. But we've got a very cool announcement having to do with one thing, and then we have a very cool announcement having to do with our merchandise. Finally, coming up very, very shortly. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Later on tonight, we're going to talk to Chris Norton, who is a young man involved in a very similar situation to that of another young man who got caught on Facebook engaged to a 14-year-old. And we're going to discuss Facebook. We're going to discuss modern romance and how people can still, with all of the information and communication that we have, how people still make these illegal moves like, hi, I'm 27, she's 14, can I marry your daughter? But first, we're going to talk to Shoel Heller. We've had him on our program before. He's a writer from Germany. He is a freelance writer and does an awful lot of work here in the West, and has decided to set his sights on the Jeffrey McDonald case. Now, for those of you too young, I will give you a refresher, and we'll bring Shoel in here too, and he can help us out. Jeffrey McDonald is in prison for murdering his wife and two daughters. Jeffrey McDonald was a member of the United States Army's Green Berets. He was a doctor. So he was quite an accomplished man to be a part of the American Army Special Forces, a doctor who was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, back in 1970, or 71, I think, when he is accused and was convicted of murdering his wife and two daughters and blaming it on a roving band of hippies who were saying things like, and I think I'm quoting correctly, acid is groovy, kill the pigs. You'll remember that just prior to 70, 71, therein, the Manson murders had taken place. And it didn't take the prosecution too long to figure out that perhaps Dr. McDonald was trying to blame this on something that, you know, like that, so as to take the focus of attention away from him, that there wasn't any bunch of hippies that came in, that he, in fact, had murdered his wife and his two very, very small children, his wife, Colette. With me is Shoel Heller, a freelance writer, and has been looking into this story, and you feel you've got something else to offer. And, Shoel, I know that there's a lot of guys out there that think they have something else to offer, or some guys that still think he's innocent, right?
Well, that's right, but I'm not one of those guys. Like, I'm happy to...
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, I'm happy to report that. I'm not one of those guys. I don't think that Dr. McDonald is innocent at all. I think this guy is guilty as he's always been. And to that extent, when I say guilty, what I mean is I don't doubt that he killed his wife. I don't doubt that he killed his daughters in this terrible, terrible... crime that was committed there in at Fort Bragg some 40 years ago. The information that has come out, though, has come out recently that I want to take another look at this and maybe for the first time bring to the attention of the public and perhaps the authorities too that, you know, that maybe this crime was committed from a different motivation than what some people think.
Now, they say, and when you look at Dr. McDonald's situation then and today, we're very familiar with the idea of a man killing his wife when she's pregnant. This becomes a moment of panic for a lot of men. And the American public, when it comes to men killing their wives, we become very familiar with this crime. Wasn't Colette McDonald pregnant?
Yes, she was. She was pregnant with a baby son. And that's true. That plays very heavily into this, you know. You make a good point there, Phil, because the public back then didn't know the phenomenon of this panic you talk about, of men feeling tied down or chained down when they find out that their wives have been are pregnant, expecting another child. So from the standpoint of where we are today, it looks very open and shut, you know, that...
McDonald, he got panicky.
Yeah, I got panicky or perhaps planned it out. It doesn't sound like he planned it out, though. It sounds like this was spontaneous. And let me tell you what I mean. And this is why I wanted to take another look at the case file and why I want to bring to the attention maybe of the authorities and perhaps the public some of the information that I found out.
All right, let me give our number out. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking with Shoal Heller. German writer of a number of topical and documentary features, and we are talking about the Jeffrey McDonald case, going all the way back to the early 70s when Jeffrey McDonald was tried and convicted for the murder of his wife and daughters at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, a member of the United States Army, and he was said to have killed all three and then blamed the entire crime on his family being attacked by three drug-crazed hippies. It was 1970.
That's correct, Phil. It's 1970. And he blamed the lady in the floppy hat, which today, I guess, we recognize this as the black man in his ski cap. You know, when the people say, I was attacked by a black man, he's generally in a ski cap. And then we find out, of course, that...
You're talking about people that make that up.
Yeah, like Susan Smith.
Right.
And some of these others, he was a black man and he was wearing a ski cap. And I think in the mind of Jeffrey McDonald, well, if I was going to be attacked by some hippies, I guess one of them would be a lady in a floppy hat. Maybe he saw a hippie one time with a floppy hat. I don't know. But I did find out something that made me stop and think. When I was listening to some recordings of the authorities at the time who had looked at the case, and decided that this obviously was not an attack by hippies, but in point of fact was something that was started between the McDonalds themselves. Two of the authorities was listening to, one of them was a military police officer, the other was a civilian authority, said that they were able to pinpoint where the crime started, where the murder started. And it was, in their opinion, it started in the bedroom.
Okay, Jeffrey and Colette's bedroom.
The man and the wife, yes. And then I heard the man say, two of the police officers say, the fight was started either Jeffrey struck her or, and this is what perked up my interest, Colette struck him. Now, keeping in mind the severity of this crime, we also must understand the motivation and the mitigating factors. If Colette started this fight, which ultimately ended in her death, by striking Dr. McDonald, then we have to take another look at this. It's possible if you look at the case from the standpoint of what this one police officer theorized, that if Colette may have hit Jeffrey McDonald first, you've got a different murder case.
Well, how do you have a different murder case? In what sense are we talking? We're talking about self-defense?
It's a possible self-defense, yes, because...
Well, why didn't he say that then?
Because he was panicked, because he did not want the authorities, the public, to know that this is a man who's been battered, maybe.
Do you think that Jeffrey McDonald was battered by his wife?
I don't know. But I know that people who are battered or people who are victims of domestic violence oftentimes will lie or create a fantasy type of scenario. So they're not found out, you know, and the family's not found out, and they're not found out as a victim. And Jeffrey McDonald is an army man. He's a doctor. He's a man that wants to be seen as he's in control of his life. And to have to go to the police and say, my wife hits me, you know, my wife hit me, I had to defend myself, is not a manly thing. And so the better thing is to say that I was attacked by hippies instead of I was attacked by my wife.
And why kill the little girls?
That's a difficult question, and I think we have to look at the difficult answers, you know.
All right, let me give our number out. We're talking here with Shoal Heller about the 40-year-old crime, Jeffrey McDonald murdering his wife and daughters at Fort Bragg. And he's looking at it again, and people have been looking at it for 40 years, because as you may know, Dr. McDonald claims his innocence to this day, saying that they were hippies that attacked his family. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. So you believe that whole hippie story is made up?
Oh, absolutely made up. It's a lie from beginning to end, yeah.
But what you're saying is he's not telling the whole truth either, from the standpoint of there weren't any hippies and he got hit by his wife?
I think he did. If you look at the police report and look and listen to it, and read all of the reports, and also listen to the testimony of the police officers in the trial, in the first trial, it was open to the possibility that Colette hit Jeffrey. And
all right, but why kill the children? He killed not only his wife, he killed his elder daughter, and then he killed the little baby who was, what, two?
Yeah, that's a very, very difficult. And it's tough, I think. If you want people to understand this, you have to understand this is a crime, and you can't see this sentimentally, but it's possible that he felt threatened, that the girls in his mind were attempting to help their mother.
That's wild.
Well, again, I'm looking at this through the eyes of Dr. McDonald, not me. But
how is a little girl, a little 5-year-old or a little 2-year-old, how are they going to help their mother beat up their father?
It could be something as simple as one of the children brought into the room some kind of a weapon, a bat, maybe innocently, brought a bat in or a book or something, a paperweight or something to hit him with. And so, in a panic, he kills them all. And you say, why doesn't he tell the police it was self-defense? What man is going to say, I had to kill my wife and my two daughters because my life, I felt my life was threatened, you know. I don't think he's going to do that, you know. So he comes up with a story about a hippie when in point of fact...
Well, have you talked to him?
Have I spoken to Dr. McDonald?
Yeah.
No, I have not. Not yet. I am hoping to speak to him within the next 30 days. I've got a phone call in to his wife. As you know, he was married in 2005.
Yeah.
And I hope to speak to him, and I will put it on the table for him. I'll say, did she hit you first, and then you just panicked and killed every living soul in the house for fear that your life was threatened?
All right, Shoal Heller talking to us here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, Jeffrey McDonald, 40-year-old murder case. And Mr. Heller says that it has come out that it's possible Colette, Jeffrey McDonald's wife, hit him first, thus spurring into action some kind of self-defense on his part. If Colette McDonald hit Jeffrey McDonald first, maybe he is, in a way, innocent. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, if she hit him. I'm sorry. If she hit him, you know.
Yeah, we're off the air right now.
All right.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number here, and we're on philhendryshow.com. You can watch us online. You can watch us right now on your Android. Just go to, just download Flash 10.1. That's what you download, and that gets you our live streaming video on your Android phone right now. 877-876-PHIL with me is Shoal Heller. We're talking about the Jeffrey McDonald case. And this is a long, long time ago, Shoal, when Jeffrey McDonald murdered his wife and his kid. People thought he was innocent for the longest time, and then he was finally put away in prison. No one's buying the hippie thing, but you're saying that while he did kill her, he might have been able to mount a self-defense case of some kind.
Well, and, you know, I think he probably can still because of the fact that I think as a Green Beret, and I don't know if you know about the military, Phil, but I've studied the Green Beret. I've studied a lot of branches of Special Forces, the United States Army. And these are very highly trained people. I don't think the American people understand when we put these people out there to do the bidding of our country, to defend our country, we're putting out there people that have been trained to a sharp edge, to a fine point. And once they spring into action, they're deadly. And they are there's no turning them around or turning them back. And I think if he's in his bedroom one night, then Colette may have hit him. This is the words of the police officer. Jeffrey might have hit her, or she may have hit him. If she had hit him, now she has turned the key and opened the door to a special forces warrior who is going to be automatic and deadly in his response.
Yeah, but he's automatic and deadly with a wife and two children?
It's a difficult thing, I think, to get lay people to understand, you and your listeners who've never been in the military.
Well, have you been? I know you're not an American. Were you in the military at all?
No, I've never been in the military, but I've studied the military. I've been around the soldiers, NATO exercise, I've studied the Afghan wars, covered the Afghan war as a correspondent, as well as the war in Iraq as a correspondent, and the Gulf War. So I've seen warriors. I've looked at their mentality. And special forces people, as soon as Colette hit Jeffrey McDonald, I can imagine he sprung into action. And the police report said that he stabbed her 21 times with an ice pick. That, as you know, is a pretty common tool to use against any kind of an attacker, an ice pick, and that he clubbed her with a piece of wood that he tore from a bed.
See, all of those actions sound like the actions of a crazy man, you know?
Oh, they might sound like the actions of a crazy man if you don't know about special forces and the special ops, you know. But that's what a good soldier, an assassin, is going to find whatever he can. He's going to take a piece of wood, a piece of timber from a bed. He's going to take an ice pick. He can take a pen. He can take anything, anything really, and use it to attack who he thinks is attacking him.
So you're telling me that Jeffrey McDonald, if this is true, that Colette may have hit him, and he reacted as a special forces warrior, that may explain why he stabbed his wife 21 times.
Well, he stabbed her 21 times with an ice pick. He stabbed her 37 times, so at one point he stopped and decided to go with another weapon. This will happen sometimes the way they're trained, you know, that he doesn't think he's getting the job done. So
he stopped to go with another weapon. All right, so he stopped, but then she's dead. Why the two daughters?
At that point, that's what I mean. One of them might have come in with a weapon of some kind. He might have felt
that. I mean, how's that possible for a guy? And you see, what you're talking about is an American soldier who is trained to the point where he doesn't recognize a daughter, a wife, nothing. He's just a blind killing machine now.
That's what we want. I mean, you have to understand. You have to understand something. I think American people need to understand something. You want your country defended as I want this country defended. I love America, and I've adopted America as my own home. And I want to see America defended, but if that's what I want, then that's the price that I got to pay. And these men and these women of special forces who will turn into a thing, more than a man or a woman, they're a thing, a killing thing, so that they will kill anything and everything. And I think that's what happened that night with Jeffrey McDonald. so I can take some calls.
Well, a lot of people, we don't really have a lot of calls.
That's unusual because most of the shows I'm on, the people are smart, the listeners are smart and they want to know, but I don't know.
Well, it's not that my listeners aren't smart, but it's an interesting story.
Yeah, but I need to get some people that are intelligent. Otherwise,
Phil Hendry.
I'm going to push the eject button.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. And if you got your Android out, download Flash 10.1. And if you've got Flash 10.1 on your Android, you can watch our show right now on your mobile device. Just want people to know this because we want as many people as possible watching us on as many things as possible. You know, whatever that may be, your refrigerator or something. All right, with me here is Joel Heller, the writer, and we're talking about the Jeffrey McDonald case, now 40 years old. Listening to tapes and listening and rereading the transcript of the first trial, you said you heard officers, police officers and others say that Jeffrey may have hit her, she may have hit him, and to you that's significant. Now,
absolutely. When you talk, as to what we were just talking about.
Right, okay, but if Jeffrey McDonald was a Green Beret, you're basically saying that this guy was and is a killing machine that other people need to be afraid of.
I think if you're married to a Green Beret, if you're married to any kind of a special forces person, you have to understand you don't go up and smack them, you know, or hit them, because what you're doing is you're putting like a nickel into the killing machine. You know, you're putting a quarter into an automatic killing. It'll kill, and everything it sees, it kills. And I think that's what happened to Jeffrey McDonald that night. I think she hit him, and every living thing was going to die that night in that house. That's the price we pay in our country when we train our soldiers. You know, Phil, it's like I was saying to you, we train our soldiers like they're knives. You know, we sharpen them up to a sharp edge. And because America is not an aggressive country and does not invade other countries per se, these soldiers are raring to go, and there's not a lot for them to do. They are a peacetime army, but trained to kill another human being without even breaking a sweat, you know. So here comes his wife, Colette McDonald, and she smacks him in the face or something. That's basically like going up to a lion and sticking it in the eye with a stick. I mean, it's one swipe of its paw, and your head, everything is off from the neck, from the shoulder area up. And that's what I think happened.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show with Joel Heller as we talk about the Jeffrey McDonald case. And the other thing in your book, you mentioned wives of Marines, wives of Special Forces.
Yeah, they should all be very careful. Don't, if you're married to a soldier, especially a Special Forces soldier, don't start something that, you know, like you were just saying, don't write a check that your body can't cash.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Here is Douglas. Go ahead, Douglas. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Joel Heller.
How you doing, Mr. Phil?
Good.
Yes, sir. I spent 21 years myself in the Marine Corps. I was in Force Recon, Oslo Beach. I've been in two conflicts during the Reagan administration, and I was in Desert Storm, and I served in Iraq and Afghanistan these last two wars.
And this you gentleman, say you're a Marine wife, Corps. You are Marine Corps. You are a Marine Corps reconnaissance, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Force Recon.
So those are some bad boys. Those are some bad boys. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead, sir.
If this guy killed his kids and his wife, it wasn't anything to do with his training. And I believe he just probably had a mental breakdown, or there was something different. They don't train us to go out and just kill people. That's not what this gentleman's talking about.
Well, but see, one of the things you have to understand is she hit him first. Maybe that's what I'm going on the supposition that she hit him first, because that's what some of the police officers were speaking of. That's number one. And number two, this is a Green Beret Special Forces. This was pre Delta Force and pre some of the other Special Force units, you know. And I don't know what they did. What did they do to those guys, you know, to amp them up You know what I mean about the Green Beret?
The Green Berets, I'm familiar with them, and I've worked with them myself in a combat situation. And I've never heard of anybody doing anything like that to their children or their...
Nor have I, sir. Yeah.
No, sir.
You know,
this guy wasn't crazy to kill his kids and his wife. I've got three daughters myself and my wife.
Let me ask you this, man.
I've never got angry like that to kill somebody, for no reason.
You know that in the East Coast right now, at least the two cases of Marines who killed their girlfriend. You know of this, right?
I think there's the one case that you're talking about.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that is the norm. I'm not saying that that's the norm. But I am saying, and I think, Douglas, perhaps you'd agree with me, if you're married to Special Forces, Marine Corps, so on and so forth, airborne, I don't know, and you go up to that man and you smack him in the face, I mean, get ready to die, you know?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Don't you think?
I don't think so. I can't agree with that.
What do you mean, get ready to die? And the other thing that I don't understand is how he would kill his daughters. What Shoal is saying, suddenly he was blinded by his training.
Everything that is alive will die. Everything around him will now die. It must die.
No, sir, that's not what you're trained to do.
Must die. Well, you don't think, I interviewed before he died Mitchell Page, the Marine on Guadalcanal. Maybe you know his name. He got the Medal of Honor as he held off a Japanese company, with a machine gun. And I asked Mitchell, I said, what kept you alive? He said, every one of those blankety blank blank blank, I can't say the words he used. He said they were all going to die. I knew I might die, but they too would go with me to whatever death, whatever hell I was headed to.
Well, yeah, those are Japanese soldiers that are coming down a hill.
Yeah, but at that moment, Dr. McDonald sees, you and I see two little girls. What does he see? Does he see two Japs?
Lose control in a combat situation, but I've never heard of a man going home and killing his wife and kids because of his training in the military.
He saw two Japs.
What do you mean? Well, first of all, I'm going to use the word Jap.
I apologize.
He sees two little girls are Japanese soldiers?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Douglas, I appreciate it. I think what we're talking about here is a guy that is crackers to begin with.
No, McDonald wants you to believe he's nuts. That's what this psychopath wants you to believe. No, I think he was cool, calm, and collected. That's why I think he stopped in the middle of stabbing Colette, and he didn't like the weight of the ice pick. He needed something lighter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Douglas. 877-876-PHIL. What do you mean he needed something lighter?
I think this guy, Jeffrey McDonald, is such a sadistic killer that I think halfway through stabbing Colette, he was disturbed by the feel of the knife that he had because he switched to an ice pick. Now, why would you switch to an ice pick? Probably because he didn't like the weight. Maybe he needed to tape the handle.
And so he's in the middle of a savage stabbing of his own wife and decides he doesn't like the feel of the weapon?
That is what I mean about some of these guys. You know, that they are trained to a fine, right up to a fine needle point, And you say to them, hey, how you doing? Nice day today. And the next thing you know, your throat is slit.
No, that's not what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying what's up.
No, but you're saying that these guys are triggered by an aggressive act.
Absolutely, Phil, yeah.
In other words, if Colette slapped him, what do you mean, hey, nice day today?
Well, I don't know, because I have not read the whole police report, just how finely tuned, trained up Jeffrey McDonald was, but it could have been that she could have slapped him across the face, or she might have said to him, don't wear that color tie, wear a different tie. And the next thing you know, her head and her body, not even the same room.
877-876-PHIL, Shoal Heller, the freelance writer we're talking to about the Jeffrey McDonald case. Maria, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Heller.
Yes, I just have a brief comment, and I totally respect your education that you have received.
Thank you.
But I don't agree because my ex-husband was a soldier. I have a cousin who is a Navy SEAL, and their temperament with their family and with their fellow soldiers is completely different. They left the job overseas, and they received
What kind of, if you don't mind me asking, what branch of special forces were they a part of?
I think you said a SEAL, one of them, Maria, right?
Yes. 101st Airborne. With my
101 Airborne.
Yes, mm-hmm, with my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm, right. Well, you notice he's an ex-husband, and that's significant. And I don't want to get into why you're not with him, but perhaps that's a good thing, you know. Someday down the road, if you are not divorced from him, Maria, and they find you in a weed-filled field, you know. You know what I mean by that?
All right, Maria, go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
He was never violent toward me. He is an excellent father. Uh-huh. Another point I'd like to make is they receive tons of classes on transitioning back to being a civilian or being, you know, when they're home. They receive classes on how to act toward their family, and they have such a camaraderie that they have their friends, their battle buddies there to help them. And another comment is that when he switched from the ice pick to the piece of wood from the bed, he had time to think about what he was doing. He had to stop and choose.
Right. But you know what he was thinking about, Maria? He was thinking about, I don't like the feel of the ice pick. I think the wood is going to go better, you know? That's what he was thinking about. That's how much of a killer. And then his daughters come into the room. And what does he see? He sees two, excuse my language, but he doesn't see two little girls. He sees a couple of gooks.
Okay, let's watch that language, okay?
But you know what I mean.
No, I don't really know what you mean. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't know a man sees his daughters and he sees two Vietnamese.
I think he saw two NVA, yeah. And he made a split-second decision. Them or me. You know
I'm
what I mean,
sorry,
Maria?
I don't agree with you, but thank you for taking my call.
You don't? You don't agree with that at all, huh? You were married to a 101st Airborne, I don't know.
Thank you very much, Maria. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to Nick. Nick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Yes, sir. Fine.
I just wanted to make a comment as far as the military training being a deciding factor in this gentleman's reaction to killing his family. I agree with the recon who called and... You're picked for the Spec Ops community for your character. You're not picked because you're a lethal with the Spec Ops.
I understand.
I just don't want. I mean, I'm sure that's not the intention. Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't want to give that impression. But you know as well as I do, Nick, that some guys get through the cracks, you know, and you got yourself before you know it, before you even get out of bed and get yourself a cup of coffee, you got a guy that's. He's a ticking time bomb, you know. And
without question. But I really don't believe it was the military training that did that, and I don't want to see, you know, that being bashed. I mean, these guys are working their their butts off.
No way. No. I would.
Okay.
Never,
well, as long as
what I'm basically saying is, a guy goes in, he's going to be Green Beret, he's going to be Marine Recon, what have you. And there's not much going. No war, nothing for him to do. But he's primed. He's trained right up to, he's ripe, you know, as they say. And suddenly some smart mouth comes along. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's some kid, a paper boy. And you go, that's it. You know, that's the end of that.
Well, that's
and you got dead,
the case.
And you're throwing dead bodies out the front door, you know.
No, not what this man's saying.
I just want to give this one point out. I mean, I'm in the Navy. I was in Rota, Spain. We got into a barroom brawl with, actually, as irony has it, a bunch of recon. But there was a brotherhood there that you couldn't even touch. Now, I can extend that to a family. I don't have any children. But if I had children, there is no question.
Right.
I would hold myself back. Not a doubt. But I appreciate you taking my call.
You've never been in a situation where, like, a kid smart-mouthed you and you just thought, you know, everything within the city block's got to die. Nothing?
Well, actually, sir, you know, I got to be honest with you, and this is not a BS story, as they say. Everyone that starts this way usually is. I was married.
Yes,
I have no children, but my wife actually did slug me several times because she knew that, you know, there was nothing I could do. And I did. I felt extreme anger that boiled me over. But I didn't act on it.
What do you mean? You didn't?
No, absolutely not.
I
actually
did not act on it.
I put my tail between my legs, like you said, and covered myself legally.
Don't you feel now that, don't you, like, don't trust yourself now in a combat situation now? If someone smacks you in the face, you're going to not...
No.
What do you mean? Because he didn't beat his wife up?
No, I understand.
No. Nick, I got to take a break. You got a very good point there, Nick. Thank you, and I think we understand. 877-876-PHIL. I don't understand.
Well, that man there, see, that scares me, because even if it's a woman, she comes up and you are special, you're special forces, and a woman hits you, brother, you better leave. No, you got to kill it. Everything dies. Everything, if it flies, it dies.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. As we speak with Shoal Heller on Jeffrey McDonald, why did he kill his wife? Did she strike him? That's what some of the police reports theorized. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It flies, it dies.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com on over 100 affiliates across the country. And if you're if you got your portable device with you tonight, if you got your Android phone, download Flash 10.1, and you can watch live streaming video of our show right now, as well as our on-demand. We're talking with Shoal Heller. He's a writer, and he's looking into the Jeffrey McDonald case. 40 years ago, it was Jeffrey McDonald who murdered his wife and daughters. He accused or said it was a bunch of hippies that did it. The Army and the civil authorities realized, no, Dr. McDonald, you did this and made this whole story up. And so he has sat in prison ever since. And Shoal is with us to talk a little bit about the reports, the police reports, the police statements saying that the fight started in the bedroom, Jeffrey might have hit her, or she might have hit him. And to you, that's significant.
It's very significant, Phil, because if she is hitting him and he's a special forces, like I said, and I want to tell you something. I admire the United States military like no other, and I want everyone to know that. I'm not here to bash the United States military. I think the U.S. military is the greatest in the world and the most humane, too, I will say. But, you know, we ask our soldiers to do some pretty sickening and despicable things, not illegal, but when you're in hand-to-hand combat, and in a jungle someplace, or burning farmhouse, or you know, where there's like tanks running over people, I don't know, and there's sweat and grease on your face, and in that moment, you know, when Jeffrey McDonald was attacking and killing his family, he didn't see his wife, he didn't see his children, he saw an enemy soldier streaked with grease and holding a bayonet, you know. And
so he was hallucinating. He was sick.
No, I don't think he's sick. I think that's what you want.
You want a soldier that's you want a soldier who sees what's going on, don't you?
You want a soldier who sees what's going on, but you want a soldier more than anything else. Let me tell you, I've been around these guys. What you want more than anything else is a guy that if you say to that guy, go out and go into that room and kill all 50 people in it, he will go in there and do that, and he'll smile while he's doing it.
Like a robot, almost. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Wes in Abilene, Texas. Go ahead, Wes. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. Basically, I have a master's in counseling. I'm a professional football player in the past as well. So basically what it comes down to is the person themselves. Now, people can lose touch with reality and do things that they wouldn't normally do, and that's not uncommon. I mean, some people actually do that. It's knowing what line to cross. Now, anybody can do that. This doesn't make them more susceptible to do it there. I trained for football from the age I was 6 until now, and I guarantee you I did repetitively 10,000 more times than a soldier does what they're going to do. I didn't, when somebody, my wife or anybody else, pushed me, I didn't go block them to the ground. It's a choice. It's a mental choice. You make that choice
but
to
Wes,
do it. They're validating.
Wes, Wes, I want to ask you, this is Shoal. As a professional football player, though, you go into the game and your thought is to just tear the face You want to rip the face right off of a guy, don't you?
No, I do not. I'm an offensive football player, and you use your mind. If you go in there berserker, you're going to get killed 10 times quicker. That doesn't help you one bit.
No, I don't.
Now, he can snap and not realize what he's doing, but he doesn't see her as some enemy soldier. Now, they can snap and lose touch with reality and do something that they wouldn't normally do, but that doesn't mean it's not because they're a soldier.
When you have, like your wife is coming through the door with groceries, and she says something that upsets you, you don't see suddenly a big, ugly, you know, black guy, say, in a helmet. You're not going to do that, right?
Never once in a million years. That's absurd.
Well, I don't understand. What do you mean that's absurd? How could that be absurd?
Well, and you may be, and you know what? If you may
I've been
be
around
different
these
than
guys.
The general public,
yeah.
You may be the one whose offense is different than everybody else.
Oh, you think
or the 1% of people that can snap like that.
Right. 877. All right, listen, hey, great call, Wes. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What team did he play for?
Phil Hendry.
What?
What team did he play for?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, it's certainly no disrespect to anyone that's vegan or vegetarian.
We are exploring all options as we speak right now.
Yes, there was a BB gun. I never threatened to shoot him.
They'll bring another couple home with them. That would be fun.
That's just stuck on stupid.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show since 1990, taking your ass to the edge of reality and beyond. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And where we take you through the looking glass and beyond. Going to places no talk show can go. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And right now, available on your Android, on your Evo. Flash 10.1, baby. If you don't have it, download it. But your Android phone should have it. And you can watch our live streaming video of the show right now from your remote device. That is your Android phone or your Evo phone. When it comes to iPhone, either we're going to develop something and get it up on iPhone, or there will be some sort of download available. But we're very happy to tell you that Flash 10.1 downloaded to your Android, and you can watch our live streaming video of the show on your mobile device no matter where you are. And, man, everywhere you go and everywhere I turn, they're talking about making video mobile and making sure that people can watch any kind of streaming video on a mobile device. NFL Network's doing it. DirecTV is doing it. Well, guess what? Now the Phil Hendry Show is doing it. All right, coming up, we have a 27-year-old gentleman, Chris Norton, from Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, California. He is going to be talking about this Facebook account where a 27-year-old was dating a 14-year-old, and he got arrested. Mr. Norton is involved in a similar situation. We will talk to him about it forthcoming. Lady Gaga wore a meat dress to the MTV Video Music Awards. It angered PETA. PETA was angry that she was wearing a meat dress. I thought that would be a protest against meat. Well, why would she protest meat? In any event, so also Bud's Nightly News. And in a moment, Chris Norton, 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, Dallas, KFXR, 1190 AM. And in Richmond, Virginia, WLEE, 990 AM on your dial. Here is a story from Chichester, Pennsylvania. There's nothing wrong with marrying a girl half your age unless you're 27 years old. And that is the case of a man named Robert Nixon, N-I-C-K-S-O-N, Jr., whose wedding plans were ruined this week after Delaware County authorities had a chat with his 14-year-old fiance. How did they get caught? Facebook. Their profile pictures were photos of the two of them together, and they posted updates stating that they're in love and they're engaged. And the police have got it all here. Their profile pictures were photos of the two of them together, and they both posted updates, and the police say that Nixon recently took the girl to a mall and bought her an engagement ring, and they even sent each other messages saying, "Wow, won't it be great if we could be together and we wouldn't get caught," and all this other jazz. So this cat has been arrested. He's been charged with statutory sexual assault, aggravated indecent assault, corruption of minors, and related offenses. He was taken to the George W. Hill Correctional Facility after failing to post bail. And according to the criminal complaint, Mr. Nixon texted this 14-year-old girl, "I wish I had my own place and you lived with me. I would get to see you every day no matter what time I get done, and no one would know where it is." 877-876, Phil with me, Chris Norton from Hermosa Beach, California. Mr. Norton, are you involved in a similar situation?
Yes, sir, I am.
And you guys are not advertising it. First of all, how old are you?
I'm 28.
And how old is your, is she a fiancé?
No, she's not a fiancé. She's a young lady that I have been very much attracted to, and we both had a similar sort of, you know, we met each other on a social networking site.
You don't want to tell me which one?
I really would rather not. I do have different accounts. I have multiple accounts because I'm socially active. I'm also very, I suppose you could say, I am very attractive to a lot of women, but I'm not, right now, I'm just dating this girl individually.
Now, you know that, you saw what happened to this guy, right? And you know that the laws are very clear when it comes to sex with an underage girl.
I know that the laws are supposedly clear when it comes to sex with an underage girl. The laws are not clear, though, Mr. Henry, when it comes to whether or not there is a very strong connection, you know, between you and the girl or you and the boy, depending upon your age. And also it doesn't speak to the sexuality as well as the sensuality of a relationship. If there are strong sexual energies, they're expressive. And it also doesn't speak to if you can provide her with a better existence than her father can. And that, I think, is what has gotten me into a problem. Not so much that, you know, I'm you know, dating his daughter.
All right. Have you talked to the girl that you're involved with? Is how old?
She's 15.
So you're 28. She's 15. So you're 13 years older than her.
Yeah, that's good math. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't mean to be a smartass, sir.
All right. But I mean, everybody says, oh, 13, you know. I mean, I could ask you if you've ever had a girlfriend that's 13 years younger than you.
Well, that's a little bit different because they're adults. But let me just say this. What do you mean? You've been in touch with the father?
I just left him a message, and I left him my phone number.
You left him a message?
Yes, sir.
What did you say?
Well, I basically said to him that I could provide for this girl, and I don't want to use her real name. I guess I'll just use a pseudonym called, I'll call her Brandy. That I could provide a good life for her way better than what he's able to. And, you know.
Have you heard back from him?
No, I haven't.
Well, does this girl live with you?
No, she doesn't. She's right now living there at her parents' house, but she does come to visit me on weekends whenever we have time together. And, because we do have a very strong connection. And
you mentioned that the strong connection you have with this girl, Chris, is a sexual?
It's all phases. I mean, I don't think I just said sexual. I said we do have a strong sexual relationship, but we also have a strong sensual relationship.
And a sensual? Did you say a sensual relationship?
Yes, sir. And we also have a good intellectual relationship. She knows that I can, you know, show her things. I mean, like a world that she'd never not ever seen, you know, and her dad had never showed her. And
well, let me ask you a question here. How do you make your money? What do you do for money?
Well, right now I'm a pharmaceutical telemarketer, but my father has an insurance business. He owns several agencies that I also am going to take over. And I also am an aspiring filmmaker.
But in terms of the actual dollars?
Yeah, I have my dad has way, way more, way, he has way more, lots of, way more money than her dad does. And I did try to explain this to him.
When you called this girl's father, I just want to ask you something, because I know that how men are, you know, women have their vanities. Men have their vanities. And one of the vanities that we have as men, and one of the places where we are very connected, is to our careers, to what we do with our lives, how capable we are of taking care of our families. And to say to us, you can't take care of your family as well as I can.
Well, I don't know what you're referring to.
No, when you call him up and say that you could take care of his daughter, his 15-year-old daughter, better than he, and you're 28, do you think he would receive that in a positive way?
I think that any man, Sir Henry, who is sensible to to the well-being of his daughter, would very much want to hear, you know, what the proposition is, you know, what want to hear just what the layout of the, you know, what's the layout of the plan. I think that would be the best thing, you know, for her just, you know, I mean, for him to listen to the layout of the plan of what I got, you know, what I'm planning on. And I'm hopeful that he will. I'm not saying that but he just doesn't, you know.
Well, what does her father do?
As far as I know, he goes out of town for construction jobs, you know, and he doesn't really make a lot of money. And I was able to get a hold of one of his pay stubs, and I told him on the phone, you know, I said, I got your pay stub here, so I know how much what you make. And I said to him, you know, it'd probably be a good idea for you to call me back.
It doesn't sound very polite.
Excuse me?
I that doesn't sound very polite, the way you're approaching this father.
What do you mean?
I mean, well, what I'm saying is, you know, I think it'd be in your best interest to call me back. I got a hold of one of your pay stubs. You know, this is a father of an underage girl, okay?
Well, yeah, but I mean, he knows which side. I mean, maybe I'm painting this too negative. He knows which side. He knows what's going on. I mean, my father has a lot of money, and my father will be able to provide for me, and I will provide for his daughter. If I decide to marry her. I mean, I haven't even decided to marry her yet, but I got to get, what I'm looking for is clearance, and, you know, I want him to waive certain things. And
what are you asking him to waive?
Well, I would want him to waive any prosecution of me for having sex, because we do have a strong sexual connection that he wouldn't understand. So I said to him, we do have a strong sexual connection. And,
oh, man, you're not talking to her father about having sex with her. Hold on for a minute, okay?
Yeah, I mean,
hold on. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-PHIL. Chris Norton with us. He's another young man who has a girlfriend through Facebook that's underage, and he's gone so far as contacting her father to say that he can support her. He makes more money than him, and he would like to be able to do that, but he needs for the old man, the father, to waive certain... You don't want her father to charge you with a crime or to go to the police?
I don't know if he would, but I think it would be best if he were to waive the sexual act, because my father makes a lot of money, and therefore I could, you know, keep her in a very comfortable way. If, on the other hand, her father decides to prosecute me for a sexual, you know, say sexual battery, or statutory sexuality, then I would then, of course, I'd have to push the eject button on the whole plan. And
pushing the eject button meaning what? Meaning you won't marry her?
Well, I'm not married.
I mean live with her.
Yeah, I wouldn't live with her.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show. You know, Chris, I don't know what you're asking the father. You're saying that money is a far better consideration here?
I'm saying that if you have a daughter and she'd be better off with, you know, with a guy who's, you know, older than she would be with you, then you, I think you have a moral obligation to, you know, let her live with a guy that's older, even if it did involve Seth, because it's not dirty, it's, you know, respectful. But I think it'd be better if she was living with a guy than being at your house, poor and, you know, I mean, living in a house that's poor and not having, you know, having to push start a car or something. I don't know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And really what we're talking about here is this sort of age-old, you know, I can take care of your daughter, sir, and here's some money. And that's what Mr. Norton's talking about. And that is, it sounds to me like he's trying to get around what a lot of guys try to get around, the laws that prohibit relations with a minor. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking to the father and saying, I can take care of your daughter much better than you can if you'll just waive prosecuting me. Your calls with Chris Norton next at 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Is the call statutory sexuality or statutory?
Statutory rape.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and we are online at philhendryshow.com and on your mobile download Flash 10.1, and you got us on your Android or on your Evo phone, live streaming video right there. With me is Chris Norton from Hermosa Beach. Mr. Norton is a telemarketer for a pharmaceutical company. His father is also the owner of several insurance agencies. And he is in a relationship with a 15-year-old girl. Mr. Norton is 28. Now, we just saw the story here, Mr. Norton, that this 27-year-old man has been arrested for having a liaison with a 14-year-old on Facebook. But you're very upfront with this, aren't you? Because of the fact that your father has money and you can offer this girl's father money.
Say I'm just straight offering this man money. I mean, I've tried to make this as businesslike as I can. You have to understand, Mr. Henry, and I don't mean to lecture you or lecture any of the people in the audience, but even though Brandy and I have a strong, accessible relationship, I do want to be businesslike about it. And I've told her father, you know, I'm not trying to tell you all about all the sexuality that we have, but I do want to be businesslike and be have a business plan so that I can present it to you.
Now, what business plan are you going to present to this man having to do with his daughter?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of a business plan per se. It's simply to say to him that I am able to take care of your daughter far, far way better than you can, and if you are willing to, assent to that, then certainly I can, we can come to some understanding about it.
Are you talking about giving him money?
I'm not necessarily talking about giving him money. I'm talking about letting him see it. Well, what we like to say in the business, letting him see the green side of the hill, you know.
Well, what does that mean?
It could be money. It could be a position with my father, with my father's company.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So she's underage. There's a guy that wants to live with your daughter. But he wants this to be a business-like thing, and he's willing to offer you money or a job.
Mr. Henry, if I could interrupt, I mean, I think you're making me sound like I'm some kind of a piece of turd, you know. And
no, no, but I mean, I have to spell it out. You want me to spell it out, don't you?
I understand it, sir, but I am trying to be very business-like about it. I mean, I have told you about the success that we have, but I want to be businesslike about it.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, I think I'm being businesslike. I'm laying it out there. I'm saying that this is what it is you are proposing. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil. I'd like to say I'm glad I got a chance to talk on your show, and I love listening to you every morning on my drive around. And,
yes, sir.
I'd like to ask the gentleman, sir, do you have a conscience?
Do I have a what? Do I have a what? I'm sorry.
Do you have a conscience? She's 15. You're, what, 28?
I'm 28 years old, yes. But as I said to Mr. Henry, that's only 13 years.
She's 15. She doesn't know those feelings that you know as a 28-year-old. I'm 29.
Oh, really?
My girlfriend is 2 years younger.
Do you know this girl that I know? I mean, you're talking about her like you know her. I mean, she's very mature. She's probably more mature than a lot of women you would meet, you know. So I'm not sure exactly what you're saying.
All right, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Joe in Anaheim.
Yes, I'd like to ask the gentleman in question here
Yes, sir.
If he's even thinking about the typical upbringing of a young teenage girl. I mean, I'd like to know if he's going to be going to the sophomore sock hop or the junior ball or the senior prom with her. And
well, that's kind of a stupid question. I mean, she's living with me, so she's not going to be going to no.
Right, but then you're going
ball,
to be depriving her of something that normal, typical teenage girls would experience in their life. I mean, are you going to want to take that away from her?
Well, maybe she didn't want to go.
I'm not doubting that, but I'm just saying that. I mean,
well, you're not. Well,
no.
Then what are you saying?
I'm saying, how would you feel?
What are you saying?
If she wanted to do those
things. If she doesn't want to go, then what would
I don't,
be worried
I don't
about?
Know her, sir. I'm just asking you.
That's right.
If she did want to go, would you go with her then?
Well, but what if she doesn't? That's
well,
my point,
go.
See? Exactly. That's what we won't do. I mean, so.
Well, it sounds like it's a one-sided thing here and that she doesn't
well,
have
I mean,
much
if she wanted to go
matter.
To a ball, what is it called? If she wants to go to a sock hop.
Right, I mean, she's probably no more than in the 10th grade or 11th grade. There's typical
right.
things that teenage girls do during that phase of their life. I mean, they like to get together and go to the malls and go to the show
well,
and all that kind of thing. And if one time they wanted to bring their boyfriends, are you going to join her in company like that?
Well, first of all, what boyfriend? I mean, she's living with me.
No, I'm
see?
Talking about
so
her girlfriends who get together
to,
that she goes to the mall with, or even if you allow her to go
her
to the mall.
Her girlfriends are
going
to be going. If her girlfriends are coming to the mall with me?
No, if they went
you
together
mentioned her
and
boyfriend
they decided that they wanted to go to some sort of activity or outing
with
their boyfriends with them, would you go
well,
with
then I would be with them. Wouldn't I be with them? I mean.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming a video of our show right now there and on your mobile devices. Download Flash 10.1. In Chichester, Pennsylvania, there was a 27-year-old by the name of Robert Nixon who's been arrested for having a fiancé that's 14 years of age, and the parents don't know about it. He's been arrested for statutory sexual assault, aggravated indecent assault, corruption of minors, and they were planning on getting married, and he bought her a ring, and he's sending her these love letters, and I suppose to some degree, Chris, there can be sympathy for a guy like that, but he's still, this is an underage girl.
Well, you know, you talk about sympathy. I don't have any sympathy for, you know, a guy so dumb that he puts it on Facebook. It's not anybody's business, but the man and the girl, and if you want to do, you know, if you want to live with her and you feel, the whole reason for me is I'm just looking for something exotic. And
for what?
For something exotic, you know.
Exotic?
Yes, sir. And so living with a, you know, young lady of 15, when we have accessible energy, and it is kind of exotic. So that was my feeling in calling her father and saying, you know, how much is it going to, you know, how much?
You want to buy this girl from this band? I think any father is going to react negatively to that.
Well, it's not. No, I don't want to buy her. I simply said to him, you know, and I know that you don't have, you know, you don't have a pot to throw it at us, so let's get serious. And, you know, he left a message saying, you know, I can't disagree with anything he's saying.
You know and I know that you don't have the pot to throw it out of, so let's get serious.
Yeah, that's correct, sir, yeah.
877-876-PHIL is our number here. As we talk to Chris Norton, a guy who has gone around this whole problem of being arrested, you just offered money to the girl's father. Here is Jack on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, thanks, Phil, for having me on the show.
Yeah.
As I had mentioned, I am a father, two daughters, and one of the things that's blaringly obvious here is that this gentleman here, Mr. Norton, it seems as though he's just in it for himself. He's not really caring about the daughter. I don't hear anything about...
Oh, let's say I was. Let's say I cared about her. Would that be okay with you? Let's say I did care about her. Would that be okay with you?
Well, regardless
I'm asking you a question. If I cared about her, would that be okay with you?
from a father's perspective that you're 28
yeah.
and the kid is 15,
Well, then whether I care about it has got nothing
regardless,
to do with it.
Well, regardless...
Right.
Regardless of how you present it to the father, you're still committing statutory rape. And you may be able to skirt the issue now, but know that statutory rape does not have any expiration. 10-15 years from now, when they discover who you are, you will be arrested. You will go to jail. And the other point I want to make is, You said something about this relationship being exotic. So you have some perverse attraction to people underage. And when this girl reaches, let's say, 18, 19, 20, you're just going to dump her and find some other girl. And
I don't understand what your point is. You're talking about how you're doing this for yourself. You're talking about how it's illegal, and I'm doing it. It's selfish. It's illegal. What point?
Hold on. Both of you guys. Who's talking here?
I'd like to ask a question, Mr. Henry.
But I can't. This man hasn't finished.
Making his own income, and you're laying claim to
that,
and presenting that as your basis for your argument that you can support this girl, when in fact, you're a telemarketer. You're uneducated, and you cannot support this girl. And you're relying on some fallacy that you're going to somehow inherit this your father's income and his business when you're uneducated. You're a telemarketer. So the bottom line is,
the problem is you don't have a point that you're making. You don't know whether it's because the girl is. Can I say something here, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead. Hold on. Hey, Jack. Hold on. What do you want to say?
This guy, he doesn't know what point he wants to make. Is it illegal? Yeah. Do I care about her? Yeah, I mean, this guy is. If I cared about her, would that make it okay? No, because then there's this.
It still doesn't make it okay.
Well, then what are you bringing it up for? Then why are you bringing it up?
It doesn't make it okay, whether or not.
All right, and it's got nothing to do with it. I don't know why you're bringing it up. You know, but I'm saying that if her father don't have any money.
You're getting the money from your dad, right?
Yeah, I'm getting the money from my dad. I'm getting the money from my dad, and I'm going to give the money to her dad. And this guy's saying that it's no good because I don't love her. Well, who said I didn't love her? I mean, I love her. I got enough money. And it is a statutory rape. Well, if her father says it's okay, see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. If her father says it, maybe if her father says it's okay, it's still not legal. Do you understand?
Okay, so in other words, they're going to arrest me, even though her dad, her mom, her brother, they're all getting fat on this deal.
And well, what do you mean they're all getting fat on this deal? You got a girl that you're living with, and you've got the mother and the father and the brother?
No, they're not living there with me.
Well, what have you done? Have you paid them off?
I can't go into it because of what we are proposing, but they're all going to get fat on it. The brother is stands to, you know, get well. The mother's going to be fine. And so far, they like what they see. You know, so.
All right. Well, you're dealing with some degenerates, man. I don't know what to tell you. 877-876-PHIL. If this guy's dealing with degenerates, they're going to get well on the whole deal. And I don't know, man, but it sounds to me like it's, I don't know what to say. I mean, you can have a father who is a degenerate and lets his daughter have sex with an older guy for money. That's still against the law. Maybe the guy loves her. Maybe the guy wants to marry her. That's still against the law. But when this guy is laying the money around with the family, and the next thing you know, the brother and the mother and the everybody's getting well on this deal, what the hell does that make the girl? She's a commodity being sold? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ravens beat the Jets?
Yeah.
Ravens beat the Jets tonight 10-9, and I forget the other game. What was it, Robert?
It was, I don't know.
It was another game, right?
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, Ravens beat the Jets, and Rex Ryan, I heard a very good comment yesterday as I was driving around. Rex Ryan is the head coach of the Jets, and I think it's very true. Rex Ryan should begin to cash some of those checks that he's been writing with his mouth. You know, Bud?
Well, I don't really follow football, except I do like the Jets. So you ought to be careful about that one.
Oh, who cares, all right? Rex Ryan ought to quit mouthing off about how good his football team is and have him play it. How about that?
I don't know.
All right, Lady Gaga dons meat dress to VMAs. So what? Well, PETA got a little crazy because they thought they recognized some of their own cats hanging from Lady Gaga. I don't know. Lady Gaga, the singer, whose capacity to surprise her audiences shows no signs of abating. Well, she's a performance artist, so that's their thing. You know.
What does that mean?
You know, performance artists are like, they're always on, man. They're always doing something whack. You know, they're always trying something, wearing a meat dress, you know. You know, Bud?
Yeah, one time I seen a guy, he was like, shot himself.
What? Yeah, there was a performance artist that shot himself.
Yeah. What do you mean he shot himself?
He did. That was part of his performance art. He had a guy shoot him in the arm.
Yeah. That is pretty entertaining.
Entertaining, huh?
What are you gotta kidding me, right?
No, we're not kidding. I don't know the guy's name, but it was a performance. It was a thing that he did. He had himself shot in the arm.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who do a lot of stuff.
So anyway, Lady Gaga was at the MTV Video Music Awards last night, and she was wearing a dress made out of meat, and we have this update that I'm sure you've been waiting for with bated breath. It's real meat, okay?
That's what she said.
Ha ha. Why don't you knock it off with that? That's what she said. Those are so old, okay?
That's what she said.
Get out of here. Lady Gaga dons meat dress to the VMAs. Lady Gaga, the singer whose capacity to surprise her audiences shows no sign of abating, caused one of the biggest frissions of her career yesterday, whatever that means, when she turned out at an awards ceremony in a meat dress, an appearance which managed in a few minutes to offend vegetarians and animal rights campaigners. She took to the stage at the MTV Music Video Awards in a matching dress, boots, hat, and handbag that appeared to be made of cuts of raw beef. It's pretty, don't you think that's? Anyway, let's listen to this cut. Here is Lady Gaga, as Margaret likes to call her. She explains why she's wearing a meat dress.
Well, it's certainly no disrespect to anyone that's vegan or vegetarian. I, as you know, am the most judgment-free human being on the earth. However, originally, it has many interpretations, but for me this evening, it's as if we don't stand up for what we believe in, if we don't fight for our rights, pretty soon we're going to have as much rights as the meat on our bones.
What?
All right.
We don't know what that means, all right.
I am not a piece of meat.
You're not a piece of meat, but your dress is. Hey! Gaga, who dominated the Los Angeles... Gaga, who dominated the Los Angeles ceremony by... Don't touch that, Bud.
Hey, try it.
That's me. I get to do that. Gaga dominated...
Uh-huh.
Gaga, who dominated the Los Angeles ceremony by winning in 8 categories, first wore an Alexander McQueen creation before changing into the meat dress to receive her final award. Her decision to turn out in figure-hugging steak... follows her appearance on the cover of Vogue Hommes Japan. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Vogue Hommes Japan.
Vogue Homo Japan. Yeah.
It ain't Vogue Homo Japan, okay? H-O-M-M-E-S. How do you figure that's homo?
Well, I mean, it means homo.
No, it does not, man. It means men. Vogue Men's Japan is basically what that means. Why did you hit my microphone?
I'm sorry.
Vogue Men's Japan in a meat bikini. Do you think she's going to wear a meat bikini in a women's magazine?
No, I can understand that'd be more attractive to men.
Exactly. I don't know of anything I want to see more than Lady Gaga in a meat bikini. What kind of a meat bikini?
Maybe strips of bacon. Yeah, probably tenderized beef, strip of bacon, roast beef. You can have a roast beef hug her ass.
Roast beef and hug her ass. In any event... The dress drew predictable outrage from PETA. Why? What are you upset about, PETA? Would you rather we eat the meat?
Well, they don't want to see an animal be hanging on be someone's underwear.
Wait a minute. Hold on. They don't want to see the animal be someone's underwear, but they want to see the animal eaten? Is that what you're saying?
No, they don't want to see none of that neither.
They don't want to see none of that neither? Well, wait a minute, bud. If she's wearing animal, if she's wearing meat, where'd she get it?
Yeah, she probably got it at the store.
Well, yeah, she went down to Vons or Kroger's.
Okay, so she had an assistant go down to Vons or Kroger's to buy her some meat that she could make into an outfit.
Well, either that or went to the deli.
They probably went to a deli for the roast beef, because that's the only thing.
Oh, I understand, guys. Okay, you don't have to tell me where. So they went down and they got the meat. What was that meat intended for?
For her underwear.
Originally.
They're going to eat it.
They're going to eat it. Exactly. So who cares whether she wears it as underwear or some guy turns it into a mile-high sandwich? Either way.
Yeah, but in one, they're going to eat it. In the other, it's on her. She's wearing it on her butt.
Well, so what, man? What difference does it make?
I don't just see. It doesn't seem respectful.
Yeah.
What doesn't seem respectful? Are you telling me that it's respectful to who, bud?
To the steak, or not the steak, but what do you call it?
Cow.
Well, yeah.
Are you trying to tell me that if I eat the meat, that's more respectful to that cow than if the meat was worn as underwear?
Because on account of the way it was intended.
Well, does the cow care?
Well, I think the cow cares. If a cow, I don't know if they know, but if they know, well, at least he's going to eat me.
So the cow's in cow heaven, and he's all bummed out that he sees his meat being eaten, or...
No, it's like, what if she used it as a tampon? Is that more respectful or not?
Now you're being an idiot.
No!
Well, it is a good point.
What's a good point? If she used it as a tampon, you got to be out of your mind. I'm talking about wearing the meat as a dress or as underwear or whatever you clowns are talking about, okay? You're telling me that's less respectful than eating it as a roast beef sandwich.
I think if what Peter's saying, it traditionally intended as a roast beef sandwich or cutlet or what have you, your choice.
Thank you.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and then she comes out and she's wearing... like a bacon strip, you know, underwear or anything, or that's pretty funny if you think about it. Gee, your underwear's got bacon strips. Well, wait a minute, your underwear is bacon strips. But then...
I'll do it. Thanks very much, bud. That's real funny. The dress drew predictable outrage from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. You want to know why PETA got upset? Because basically Lady Gaga did something pretty funny that PETA hasn't been able to manage in years. Years and years and years. PETA's always trying to do something outrageous, and it winds up really boring and stale, and nobody understands it anyway. Here's Lady Gaga, one trip at bat, one trip to the plate, and she knocks it out of the park, and there's PETA sitting on the bench with splinters in her ass, and they don't know how she attracts the attention she does. Anyway, Ingrid Newkirk, the organization's founder, who lives with thousands of cats and probably thinks she is one, in that business, Lady Gaga has a hard time being over the top, and wearing a dress made out of cuts of dead cows is offensive enough to bring comment. But someone should whisper in her ear that there are more people upset by butchery than impressed by it, and that means a lot of young people will not be buying her records if she keeps it up. On the other hand, maybe it was fake, and she'll talk about that later. If not, what's next? The family cat made into a hat? That's pretty funny, Ingrid. Ingrid, who had to take 5 paragraphs to say something even remotely interesting to what Lady Gaga said, then passed out. Meanwhile, Gaga, whose previous ensembles have included a bubble wrap outfit, a Kermit the Frog costume, and a pizza hat, later explained her choice on the Ellen DeGenerated show. And I think you just heard the cut. I can play it again for you, or I can just pretend I'm her.
Well, it certainly is no disrespect to anyone in the thing of the...
Well, it's certainly no disrespect to anyone that's vegan or vegetarian.
That's what I meant. For this evening, if we don't stand up for what we believe in, and if we don't fight for our rights, pretty soon we're going to have as much rights as the meat on our own bones, and I'm not a piece of meat, she said. Afterwards, DeGeneres, who is a vegan, presented her with a vegetarian bikini and skirt. It's fabulous, said Gaga. It's kale. Is it organic? DeGeneres, who said, no, it isn't. And that's when Gaga took it and threw it in the street. For most of the evening, Twitterers were discussing her dress. The term meat dress was the most used term last night on account of that's what we saw on trending topics. Thank you. Yours sincerely, The Washington Post.
Did they say that?
No, they didn't say that. They might as well, though. Durr. We're The Washington Post. Durr. We went over to Twitter, and the trending topic was meat dress. Well, I don't know what to say. I'm shocked. I'm crazed. I don't care, you know.
Well, again, Mike, you can have a meat dress, but I do believe that disrespect to the cat or dog or however. If, on the other hand, a cow or those are meat cuts or cuts of meat, a different variety of meat, a rump roast or something, then no one cared, you know. But why did DeGeneres get upset?
Ellen DeGeneres didn't get upset. She gave her a vegetarian. We see, by giving her the vegetarian dress, then we know that it wasn't exactly spontaneous. We know that Ellen knew ahead of time. Oh, she already did know ahead of time because it was last night. Never mind. Here is Lady Gaga. We may hear this again. Is this her performing last night?
Thank you so much. I was so nervous for tonight that
okay, thanks a lot. Now, no, this is her acceptance speech.
Thank you so much. I was so nervous for tonight that I would let my fans down. And I promised if I won this tonight, I'd announce the name of my new record. It's called Born This Way. I'm beautiful in my way, 'cause God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way.
Burn in hell.
All right. Lady Gaga last night at the VMA. I like her. I like her a lot. I like everything about her. I like the way she looks, the way she walks, the way she talks, her meat dress. And if she ever needs any contribution to that meat dress.
Oh, yeah, I'm in line.
Me too.
So, Lady Gaga, you can count all three of us in if you're missing any meat. I'm kidding. It's a crude guy joke. Our number 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget online at philhendryshow.com. Check us out on your mobile. Go and get Flash 10.1, Jack. We're on Android. We're on Evo. Pretty soon we'll be on iPhone. We're everywhere and anywhere. We're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news hour coming up next with Bud and me and Bud's Nightly News, too.
Phil Hendry.
Burn in hell.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is hard to comprehend. I don't even have, quite
I'm
frankly.
I'm the one that took him home, not them, okay? I took him home because...
Well, it's certainly no disrespect to anyone that's vegan or vegetarian. I, as you know, am the most judgment-free human.
Ball tapping.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here we got something called Truth is Our Bitch. Also, we are on our website at philhendryshow.com with live streaming video or audio. Unfortunately, we've lost our internet. We've lost Time Warner's connection, our internet service provider where we send our live streaming video to. Is down. So if you have a frozen picture, that's why. And I apologize, guys. We rarely have that problem. We rarely have that problem visited on you. But behind the scenes, we got more problems with Time Warner than I can even begin to think about. And I'll tell you something, Time Warner, if you think that I can't go and get DirecTV and have them doing exactly the same thing that you don't do very well, think again, man. I suggest that you guys not work 9 to 5 around there. I suggest another thing for you, Time Warner. Get an office that doesn't look like I'm walking into the waiting room in a hospital with a bunch of sourpusses sitting there as if they're doing me a favor. Do that. In other words, class your operation up a little bit, okay? You're beginning to look, honest to God, you look like the DMV. You got a bunch of sourpuss people. You might as well be taking a number. You feel like you're waiting in line to get a proctology exam instead of, you know, TV service. If you don't like your jobs, try something else. I know. Why don't you guys go to work in a hospital, send some of those people over to your office? Maybe that's all we need. God.
Tell him.
877-876-PHIL. So I apologize for the video going down shortly here this evening. We're waiting for it to come back up. All right. Will.i.am, this is another story, you guys, and Bud is going to have his nightly news for us later on, maybe.
What do you mean, like two nights you put it off?
Well, maybe we'll put it off a third night. We'll find out. Will.i.am is an artist most recently in the news, I think, because he basically told, he told Perez Hilton where to stick it, and Perez said, "That sounds good. Would you mind doing it for me?" And that's when, anyway, they got into a pushing match or a shoving match last summer in a hotel in Toronto. I'll never forget it because Perez Hilton was on Twitter saying, "Would someone please call the Toronto police for me?" And it was immediately picked up on Twitter. Everyone said, "Well, obviously he's not hurt and he's just looking for publicity, because why would you go on Twitter to ask someone to call 911 for you?" So it was a little silly. But in any event, Will.i.am is the frontman for the band The Black Eyed Peas, and he's well known for his outrageous costumes. And, of course, why would he be known for his outrageous costumes? Is it possible that he's an entertainer? Well, shut my mouth. That's exactly what he does. He's an entertainer. So naturally, he'd have some weird-ass stuff that he wears. However, the rapper's get-up during Sunday night's MTV Video Music Awards wasn't met with a warm welcome this time around. The singer, who performed during the VMA pre-show alongside singer Nicki Minaj, outraged many fans when he appeared in blackface. What fans did he outrage? I want to know specifically. When you people say that he outraged many fans, you're going to have to show me the fans, because most of the time when they say that a guy outraged many fans, it's like that reporter was outraged and some other jackass he was drinking with at the bar, and that's it. In addition to donning blackface paint, Will.i.am also wore an all-black leather ensemble complete with matching shiny hairpiece. Following his performance, the Twitterverse ran amok, slamming the 35-year-old rapper and comparing his look to 19th-century minstrel shows in which white actors performed in theatrical black makeup, which propagated racist stereotypes toward African Americans, except this time it's a black guy doing it, and that's kind of funny, and don't you get it? Or are all of you people even lamer than we already know you to be? First, just because I wear, this is Will.i.am tweeting, by the way, wear, W-H-E-R-E. Oh, man.
What's wrong with that?
He misspelled it.
Misspelled it.
First, just because I wear all black, including head mask, as expression and emphasize my outfit, it shouldn't be looked at as racial, Will.i.am tweeted. Let go of the past. There are far more important things to bark about. Jobs, health, education, not a black man wearing all black everything. 2 hours later, I agree with him, but I just don't like the way he spelled wear, W-H-E-R-E. Don't he know it's W-E-R-E? 2 hours later, as criticism continued to flood his account, the singer asked, "Are all you white people..." No, he didn't. He said, "Are you guys serious? My outfit set black people back 100 years? Choose your twits wisely. No education sets people back. No jobs, bad health, dumb Twitterers." I got to agree with Will on this one. Get a life, get a job, you know, read a book. Dumbest human beings on earth. One of the great things about social networking and the social media sites and whatever the hell you want to call them, the social venereal disease sites is what I call them. God, do I feel good when I get off of them. But anyway.
What do you mean? Because everybody's so dumb?
A lot of times, yeah. I mean, I go on there. Every time I'm feeling suicidal, I just go to Twitter, read a few tweets, and feel fantastic.
Yeah, it's like taking an upper.
The whatever. Yep, all I got to do is go over there to Twitter, man, and feel good. All right, so that was that. And meanwhile, we do have the winners in the Video Music Awards. And I'm just going to very quickly go through them and then get it out of my life once and for all. Lady Gaga swept the MTV Video Music Awards. By swept, we mean, well, most of the, in other words, the important ones. She won 8 awards last night's MTV Video Music Awards, which netted a big 11.4 million viewers, and that's pretty good for cable. According to the network, the two-hour award show was the most watched program on MTV since 2002. And what show was on in 2002? The MTV Music Video Awards. Anyway, the outrageous singer picked up the biggest prize of the night, Video of the Year, wearing an outfit sure to anger the PETA crowd, a dress and a chapeau that appeared to be made of cuts of meat. Another large delight diva from another generation presented Gaga with her trophy, Cher. By the way, Cher was wearing an outfit that was out of here, man. Did you see that?
Yeah, man. I don't know what was so weird about that. I thought she looked good.
Yeah, me too.
I thought she looked good too, but, you know, you're not allowed to do anything, man, if you're past 60, I guess. She looked pretty good. Cher is going to wear weird stuff. I mean, what is it with people? Lady Gaga wore cuts of meat. Will.i.am was in blackface. Are you people out of your minds? That's what those cats do for a living. They're entertainers. They're weird asses. They're performers. They're supposed to look weird. They take our minds off of stuff, you know.
Yeah, be upset about life. I want to see somebody wearing cuts of meat.
Yeah.
What?
If you're going to be upset about life, I want to see someone wearing cuts of meat.
Well, you want to have somebody take your mind off your problem and everything. They better get out there with some meat, you know, like a meat dress or something.
Yeah, do like a meat jock strap or something. Will.i.am should have had a meat jock strap.
Yeah, well, they got to, in other words, they got to be entertainers.
Yeah, they got to entertain me. And I say Will.i.am and Lady Gaga, they did the job, man, and Cher did too, and everybody else, it was no good, man. No good at all.
Yeah, if you like Bono, he always looks just like a drunk.
Bud, come on. Bono looks like a drunk?
Pretty much, man.
Get out of here. No, he doesn't. He always looks good. Bono, I admire him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, you just think he's great because he's Irish and everything.
Maybe I do. I like their music, too. But I know what you mean. I mean, if you're going to be an entertainer, you better get out there and entertain, man. So why work hard? Just dress in all black or put on meat slacks or whatever the hell it was.
You have a meat slack with a meat dress.
I know. I'm just saying.
If you're a guy, you put a meat slack.
Yes, if you're a guy, you would wear meat slacks.
No, it's a meat slack.
Meat slacks, bud.
What do you mean?
No, I know meat slacks, but what if you just wore a meat slack?
What do you mean if I wore a meat slack?
Like one pant leg?
Yeah, if you wore one pant leg out of meat.
So that's what you think a slack is?
Yeah, well, why do they call it slacks?
Okay, so, and the next hour, Bud will be with us to talk about why are there only, what is it, 7 hot dogs in the pack?
No, that's a good question. You know it's a good question why it's a slack.
I don't care, Bud, if it's a slack.
But if you're going to be...
Will you quit bugging me, man?
What do you mean by slack?
Why do they call it slacks?
Hey, look, man. You know, that to me is one of those lame questions I don't want to deal with.
I know, and I don't blame you, but I'm saying... I'm only saying on account of the meat slack.
Bud, there's no meat slack, man. You came up with meat slack. And then you're all, hey, why do they call it slack? I'm doing the show. Do you understand? Me, I'm doing this show.
Yeah, you're the host.
I know.
Don't take the topic and turn it around to something else. I'll do that.
Dad.
Well, no, you know what, man? If you don't want to be yelled at, then don't say dumbass stuff like, whoa, meat slack. And why do they call it a slack? I'm Bud Dickman, and tonight's meat slack topic.
That just thought it'd be interesting.
Oh, well, I'm really sorry that what we're rapping about, man, is not interesting. So, do you want to leave?
No.
Anyway, Gaga's 8 wins ties the aha. Who wrote this?
Don't say that. You read that.
You're right. Gaga's 8 wins ties with Aha's Take on Me in 1986 for the second highest number of wins in one night. Are you kidding me? Peter Gabriel previously won 10 for Sledgehammer in 1987, which is the record of the award show. Now get a load of that, man. Does that tell you anything? Of course, these are video awards, right? A list of winners at Sunday nights. If I remember Aha's Take on Me, it's all like a...
like a drawing or something.
It's like a sketchboard, right?
Yeah, the guy comes out of a sketch, and the girl's all, ooh, I was drawing you in your reel.
What was Sledgehammer?
I don't know.
I don't remember it either. Do you?
I don't remember. What, Peter Gabriel?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
A list of winners at Sunday night's 2010 MTV Video Music Award collaboration, Lady Gaga featuring Beyonce, Telephone, female video, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance. That's pretty good, man. I like that. I mean, it was very good. Male video, Eminem, Not Afraid. Hip-hop video, Eminem, Not Afraid. New artist, Justin Bieber featuring Ludacris, Baby. Pop video, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance. Rock video, 30 Seconds to Mars, Kings and Queens. Dance music video, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance. Art direction, Florence and the Machine, Dog Days Are Over. What I'm getting from all of this, by the way, not to interrupt, but it ain't the song, man. It's the video, see?
Well, yeah, it got to be, man. A Video Music Award, you know.
Because Aha, Take On Me.
Well, that was still a very groundbreaking song, don't you think?
Groundbreaking?
What's groundbreaking about it?
The way the guy goes, take on me. Or, I mean, I'm not doing it good.
Oh, you really? Yeah, no.
Well, you know what? He goes, I'll be God. Mary did that.
But, yeah, I remember when he did something like that, but it wasn't the way.
Yeah, man, you were way off on that.
But do you remember how he done it?
Yeah, I do, man. Are you saying that's some kind of a heavy-ass musical device? Like, wow.
Well, nobody else had done it in the music time, were at that time.
What was so different about that, man?
You're just bitching. He goes, I'll be God.
Shut up, man. God.
Man, I'm bleeding from my ear and everything, man. I can't hear nothing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make a point.
You made your point. God. Okay, editing, Lady Gaga. Special effects, Lady Gaga. Paying off the staff of the Video Music Awards, Lady Gaga. Slipping $100 bills into the pockets of the valets, Lady Gaga. Sending a suitcase full of millions of dollars to the heads of the MTV networks, Lady Gaga. Okay? And also sending a suitcase full of money to the Meat Butchers of America, Lady Gaga and Frank Perdue. All right, we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Look at this, man. Problem loading page. Ah! We got our service back. We got our video back. Are we back online? Well, we'll see. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This part. I'll be God.
I know, bud.
Yeah, man, no, shut up.
Shut up, will you, man?
There you go. Oh, God.
No, bud, this band's as gay as you, man.
Shut up, man. I don't just say I liked it.
Yeah, well, you've been talking enough about it. Making me crazy with this crap.
Right here, this is a good part.
Turn that off before I flip!
That song's good, and Sledgehammer's bitching too.
Sledgehammer? Let me tell you something about Sledgehammer, okay? You know, I was a disc jockey for 17 years. You guys know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
And of all the songs, and I liked Peter Gabriel, and I liked...
What did you like about him?
I liked it when he was with Genesis, you know, and he did that climbing up on Salisbury Hill, all that bullcrap that he did, you know, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, that stuff. And I even thought that album was pretty good, but that song, Sledgehammer...
What song you hate on account of you had to play them all the time?
Songs that I hated because I played all the time?
Yeah.
Sledgehammer.
Well...
I hated everything, man. I got to hate Stairway to Heaven because I had to play it all the time. I hated the hell out of Stairway to Heaven. Doom, 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 doom. You know, and...
What else?
What is it with you, man?
Well, no, so you hate Stairway to Heaven. That's like the number one song that of all time and everything.
I know. That's the number one rock and roll song probably of all time. I hated it after a while because we had to play it all the time. The other one I started to hate was Layla. God. And
I don't know that one.
It's you don't want to know that one. I started to hate everything that Creedence Clearwater Revival did because we played the hell out of those cuts, man. We played that. Oh man.
Like what, man? You know the one I'm thinking about? A doot 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 on my back door.
What do you mean your back door?
No, I know this song. Oh, God.
Yeah, that drove me out of my mind.
You talk about your back door, gay.
I'm talking about a song, you dumbass.
It's a song, okay?
Yeah, what, about your back door?
No, it's about your back door.
Gay.
Hey, bud, I ain't the guy sitting here going, take me on.
That, first of all, I didn't sing it like that, and I'm just doing it to show you.
Hey, man, I get it already, okay? the hell is this? Turn that off. All right. So that's the MTV Music Video Awards. I hope you enjoyed them. Buds, you know what you need? We need to do the nightly news. We'll do that when we come back from our next break, okay?
Yeah, I'm getting it all ready and everything, and it's a very interesting stories tonight.
Oh, well, thank you so very much, Mr. Anchorman.
Here he is.
All right. So, we already told you about Will.i.am. Now, guess who else is in the news? This pain in the ass with that mosque. The imam behind the controversial plan to build an Islamic center and mosque near New York's Ground Zero site has said he's exploring all options and everything's on the table in the face of a firestorm of protest against the project. In a speech to the Council on Foreign Relations in New York today, and in an interview yesterday on ABC's News, Faisal Abdul Rauf Yomama expressed frustration that radical extremists have hijacked our discourse and wanted that moving the mosque could prompt a violent backlash from some Muslims abroad. Warned that moving the mosque could prompt a violent backlash from some Muslims abroad. Radical extremists have hijacked our discourse. Now, see, that doesn't mean anything. Radical extremists. You mean people who disagree with you? I don't know. Ralph said the Islamic Center's advisors had been looking at every option, including delaying construction. The imam has also suggested that the center could expand to provide space for people of other faiths alongside Muslims. See, what he's not understanding, and this blows my mind considering recent history with some, not all, but some Muslims, and that is the following. When you do something or say something or act in a certain way, in a certain insensitive way, that could anger Muslim people, they are very expressive with their hurt. Okay. Now, why is he so shocked when somebody's hurt about something he's doing?
Yeah, I don't understand that either, man.
In other words, he ought to be very familiar with the whole world of hurt feelings because, good God, and I'm not criticizing. I mean, I'm learning. I'm educating myself. If there are things that I do or a certain way that I speak, I don't, you know, I'm here in this. Would you turn that off, bud, before I flip?
Yeah, but Take on Me going to be next.
Turn it off, Take on Me. I don't care.
That sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, man, why don't you go back and think about that and, you know, get your news together and think about how dirty it sounds to say Take on Me.
Okay.
Wow. You know what, man? Now I don't even have time to talk about this because of you with that music.
Nobody wants to hear about that stupid mosque anyway.
Maybe I want to talk about it. All right, we'll come back and we will do mosque talk because there's just a couple of things to talk about. Bud's Nightly News next. Oh, you think you got some really cool stuff here? Harley Union OK Stark contract. Well, that's really sexy. 877-876-PHIL, world famous, Phil Hendry Show.
I'll be gone.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
From around the world and around the nation, and our studios at the El Pacifico in California, it's Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
Good evening. Bud Dickman on the news. In a Wisconsin Harley Union is going to have a contract and everything that they're going to have. The people that make them, the people that make the motorcycle, they are gonna have a contract. And there's a gay, and now in Saudi Arabia, there's a gay there. Then in France, their sex is lame in France.
Bud Dickman's Nightly News continues.
And a Koran they burned it at us, or no, they burned a Christian school down, or they burned a Koran, then they burned down a Christian school. Then there's in other news tonight, these poor men, they're from Chile, and they don't like being.
Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
There's Harvard is where, that's the Ivy League. And then there's only 9 months after Haiti.
What?
I don't know. In other news, there's a gay. And Obama, he's going to make missiles and sell them to Arabs and anybody that he wants to.
More Bud Dickman news.
Did you hear about Chat Roulette? They got a tape with a guy on Chat Roulette and his pants, and he pulled his pants down right when the Chat Roulette was. That's what it says anyway. I don't know if it's true.
Bud Dickman's nightly news.
There's. Like in Haiti, where they had a bomb or something, or it was an earthquake. They haven't cleaned anything. Nothing's cleaned up. And then a final news story of the night: a plane crashed in Vizula or something. It's like that horn that you blow in soccer. There, a plane crashed in Vuluzu or Vivulu or something.
Venezuela.
What?
Venezuela.
In Venezuela.
This has been Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
Good night, everybody.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that went much better.
Yeah, it went great.
What are you laughing about?
No, it was great. It was great. All right, so that's groovy. All right, so Bud's nightly news, and I'm glad to know, dude, that that plane that crashed in Vuvuzela.
Well, I didn't know what it was.
Well, it ain't the horn that they blew at the soccer tournament. It's the country. Vuvu, or I don't know what the name of it is.
Venezuela.
Oh, yeah, Venezuela, but I don't know what the name of that horn is. Anyway, the New York imam. Oh, by the way, if you're having a hard time getting our feed this evening via the internet, the server has gone down, ladies and gentlemen. I certainly do apologize for that. It is a very rare occurrence, but it happens. And we're theorizing that Time Warner, not mindful of the fact that they do have commercial users as well as just private users, decide that at midnight on the West Coast, they'll just start doing their maintenance or whatever it is, probably eating a sandwich while they just pull plugs, and they pull the plug on us. So we do apologize, but we will put up our on-demand video tomorrow regardless. We'll have 2 hours of it instead of three due to this technical faux pas. The New York imam Faisal Abdul Rauf says, sounds a lot like someone throwing up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And why not, folks, when this guy opens his yak? A whole lot of people do. Now, I don't have anything against this man. Everything's fine. I'm not even going to comment. I'm just going to give you this news. In a speech to the Council on Foreign Relations in New York, Faisal Abdul Rauf expressed frustration that radical extremists have hijacked our discourse and warned that moving the mosque could prompt a violent backlash from some Muslims abroad. Rauf said the Islamic Center's advisors have been looking at every option, including delaying construction. The imam has also suggested that the center could expand to provide space for people of other faiths alongside Muslims. Everything's on the table, he said. We really are focused on solving it. I give you my pledge. That's very nice, sir. Here is Mr. Rauf Faisal Abdul moving the mosque. This is part of his series of comments explaining in an interview on ABC News why he's not a fan of moving the Ground Zero Mosque.
My major concern with moving it is that the headline in the Muslim world will be Islam is under attack in America. This will strengthen the radicals in the Muslim world, help their recruitment. This will put our people, our soldiers, our troops, our embassies, our citizens under attack in the Muslim world.
Oh, boy.
And we have expanded and given and fueled terrorism.
This is a guy that I can't believe this. Does it ever occur to you, Rauf, that by putting the mosque there, you're going to be inflaming and pissing off people here? Does that ever enter your mind? And here's a guy talking about our troops. I thought 9/11 was made in America. Remember? Mr. Rauf, in his question and answer session after a speech for the Council on Foreign Relations, takes issue with some calling the area where he's building his mosque hallowed ground.
First of all, it is absolutely disingenuous, as many have said, that block is hallowed ground. with a strip joint around the corner, with betting parlors, to claim that it's hallowed ground. It's hallowed ground in one sense, but, you know, it doesn't add.
Well, they didn't put those up after 9/11, did they? They were there, man. And finally, Imam Ralph tells the audience he's still deciding how to address the controversy in the mosque location, but make sure you don't piss off people that are thousands of miles away, whatever you do.
We are exploring all options as we speak right now, we are working through what will be a solution, God willing, that will resolve this crisis, diffuse it, and not create any of the unforeseen or untoward circumstances that we do not want to see happen.
So that is Imam Rauf. I said the Islamic Center's advisors, as I said, are looking at every option. Asked why, when more than two-thirds of New Yorkers say they want the Islamic Center built somewhere else, he would not do that, Rauf said. Yeah, well, you heard what he said. He doesn't care about New Yorkers. He cares about guys that are halfway around the world. He cares about radicalizing people so they hate more. He doesn't care about radicalizing Americans, so they hate more. Why? Because we're Americans. We're not supposed to hate. We're all grown up. We're adults. And the Muslims over there, they're children. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying they're a bunch of nervous children, and we're the adults, so we should behave like adults, and they can be children, and let's not piss them off. Do you understand? Some of these people don't even listen to themselves. They talk about racism, and they talk about xenophobia, and they talk about chauvinism. They don't even listen to the things they say. My concern is not to radicalize and further piss off a bunch of people living in caves. God, please don't let that happen. All right, great. So you'll piss off a lot of people that live like three blocks away. That's perfectly fine. We're okay with that because, after all, they're Americans, and we know that they'll behave fine. See, on the one hand, you think they're giving you a compliment. And they think that you think they're giving you a compliment. Oh, well, you're Americans. Naturally, you know how to protest. But what they do is they take advantage of our good nature and our good graces and our good intentions to crap all over us. That's what they wind up doing. Well, we know that you guys are the sweetest thing that God could ever put on the planet Earth. So why don't we go ahead and just squat over you? Because after all, we got to use something, man. And all the bushes are taken. That's right. We're America. Go ahead. Come on over, man. You don't even need toilet paper. I'm telling you, that's what it's become. And it only ends if we start saying to a few people, you know, no. Now, I put this thing on Facebook today because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm a Facebook kind of a guy. Not that anybody at Facebook understands what it was I put up. I don't have it right now. But there was a writer, and I don't know where it originally appeared, but I linked it. Oh, I know. It was a CNN. And it was an article by a young writer who said, who said first, let's not make this a war on Islam? Who was the first person to speak those words? President Bush. Right after 9/11, the president gave a speech. He quotes it, chapter and verse. And President Bush is saying in that speech, basically, everything that everybody's saying right now. Let's not make it a war against Islam. Let's make sure that there's this and that there's that. So now they're using, now all of a sudden, oh, Bush is the great white father, see? And they're right. They're absolutely right. And Bush was right. It's not a war on Islam. We're not making it a war on Islam. We don't want a war on Islam. As a matter of fact, we're not saying don't build your mosque. We're asking for the same consideration, just a little bit of the same consideration that Muslims ask for themselves, it seems, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, whether they live here or whether they don't, whether they're citizens here or whether they're not. Oh, the writer, thanks. What does that say, bud?
Julian Zelizer. I'm the one that got it.
No, you didn't. Jason got it.
Well, I told him where to find it.
He's a history professor at Princeton. His name is Julian Zelizer. And you can see this article, I think, on CNN, and it's very, very good. And he is quoting, he said, who was the first one to say, let's not go to war against them? Now, you know, because it's Bush, nobody's going to give him any credit. They'll say he's an idiot. They'll somehow find a way to insult the man. But fact is, President Bush did say it. So there's nothing, and we've linked the article on Twitter, if you want to go look at it. It's over at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. And also, if you want to check out my Twitter page, it's twitter.com/realphilhenry. But I won't have that on there. I just thought I'd mention that because, you know.
Yeah, you want to get some love.
Yeah, I want to get a little bit of love. All right, we'll be back here. 877-876-PHIL. A man uses a BB gun to force his son to exercise. And parents across the country are applauding. I'm just kidding. No, they're not. But we'll read that story. We come back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
He did Bud's Nightly News.
Oh.
Wow.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, every night is an adventure on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, not only while we're doing the show, but behind the scenes. Tonight, we've lost our connection to our video feed, and I apologize for that. And we will, I'm sure, from our headquarters back up the coast to here, to everywhere that the Phil Hendry Show is served, we will find out what happened and kick some asses. But right now we do have a server problem with our video. So if you were trying to watch it online, I apologize. And it just so happened to be the night that I was telling everybody that if you get Flash 10.1, you download it to your Android phone or your Evo, you have got live streaming video on your phone, on your mobile device. Hold on, I have to clear my throat and cough.
Why'd you tell people that?
Because if they heard a bunch of dead air, they'd know what I was doing. All right. Stepdad accused of using BB gun to force teenager to exercise, claims BB gun was for motivation. A stepdad whose picture appears in this story, and it appears that he has a farmer's tan on his face. That is, his forehead is pure white, pure bleach white, and from just above his eyes down to all the way down to his neck, he's beet red. Yeah, he looks like a real dumbass, this guy. A Leesburg stepfather was so upset with his stepson's performance during a football game, he pulled out a BB gun and he forced the 13-year-old to do sprints in the front yard, according to deputies. Robert Barker was arrested on Saturday on child abuse and aggravated assault with a weapons charge. The teen had a concussion 3 weeks ago, and at the game on Saturday, he was dizzy. The coach sent the boy home, but instead of resting, his stepfather made him do sprints in the front yard while firing a BB gun at the teen. The kid had a concussion 3 weeks ago. I don't know. Maybe I don't have the whole story. This is what I'm learning more and more. Because we can sit and we say, well, you know, this is a crazy thing. But how do I know? How do I know that WFTV television in Orlando is reporting this thing the way it should be reported, or they're just reporting the juicy stuff so everyone can say, ooh, and we'll go over to Channel 9 and read more about it because it's just so goofy. Deputies said the heat index, I know why, because the cops arrested him. Deputies said the heat index on Saturday was 107 degrees, so the kid had a concussion, the coach sends him home, this fat jackball with the farmer's tan on his face takes out a BB gun, and while he is gnawing on a pork chop, fires it at his kid as the boy is doing wind sprints, and on top of everything else, is he the father? No, he's a stepfather. All right.
Better give him a good name.
You know, so, I'm going to tell you something, pal. Guys like you, it's bad enough and tough enough being... I'm not saying it's bad. I shouldn't say that. It's tough enough being a step-parent. It's a difficult and it's a thankless job, and that's fine. If you're a step-parent, then you better get with the program. You better understand something if you're a step-parent. It's a thankless job, and I don't mean that to say I'm complaining. It is. It is. You're there to assist the mother. Or the father. That's number one. Number two, they have a father or they have a mother, unless, of course, they are deceased, in which case you have to work your way into the picture very, very gently and with guidance from the other parent. You don't come busting on in there, fat boy, with your BB gun, gnawing on a chicken leg, your gut hanging out, wearing your JCPenney t-shirt that she shrunk, but you don't care, and your farmer tan kisser, and the kid's got a concussion. What seems to be your major malfunction, you dumb redneck? Baker admitted he was upset on Saturday when his 13-year-old stepson had to leave his football game and admitted he made him do sprints. I took him home because he said his sides were hurting, Barker told WFTV television. His sides were hurting because he said it was from running, okay? So why did you make him run more, WFTV reporter Kathy Belich said. Because he's out of shape. He can't play football and not be in shape. Actually, we have the audio. Listen to this. Here is the reporter, Robert Barker. He's defending his actions to WFTV TV reporter Kathy Belich.
I'm the one that took him home, not them, okay? I took him home because he said his sides were hurting. Sides were hurting because he said it was from running, okay?
So why did you make him run more?
Because he's out of shape. You can't play football and not be in shape. He wants to play football.
No, you want him to play football. He had a concussion, fat ass. Barker explains the use of the weapon and says all coaches act the way he does. Oh, okay.
Yes, there was a BB gun. I never threatened to shoot him. I never threatened him in any way, shape, or form. I was arrested for making my kid run sprints. Now, if you're going to arrest me, you go arrest every coach in America, because I did not do nothing that every coach in America, every NFL coach does.
Every NFL coach that you wish you were. Because he's out of shape, he can't play football and not be in shape, he said, grease running down his chin. Barker said he would never intentionally hurt his stepson. Oh, well, maybe a few times. But that's only because the boy keeps talking about how he wants to go live with his father, who's his real dad, not the fat pig that you are. Neighbors said he fired a gun in the yard before, and they've complained to him. One of the neighbors called 911 Saturday, which led to Barker's arrest. The teenager's mother told WFTV she did not know that Barker was going to have him do sprints in the front yard or anything about the BB gun. The judge told Barker he can't return to his house while his stepson is there. He claims he's not even allowed to ask his wife how the teenager is. He's charged with child abuse and aggravated assault with a weapon. You know what, pal? Guys like you, just whatever it is you're trying to work out in your life. So there you have it. But like I was saying, you know, being a step-parent.
Yeah, well, I mean, so? He doesn't mean he can't go home.
The judge said he can't.
Yeah, you can't go home if you endanger a kid.
What? With a BB gun? Trying to get the kid. Maybe the kid's fatter than his dad. You're talking about pork chop.
I don't know whether the kid's fatter than his dad, but he's a kid. The dad's the dad. And the dad ought to know better, okay?
What about the pork chop?
What about the pork chop?
If the dad's gnawing on one, how do you know a kid wasn't gnawing on one? Got out the BB gun to make the kid motivated and not gnaw.
To make the kid motivated. So this is what you do, man. You now introduce elements into the story, which we don't even know if they were there.
That's what you're doing.
Okay, so I said he was gnawing on a pork chop. It doesn't change the basic element of the story.
No, mine doesn't.
Yes, it does. You're saying a kid was gnawing on a pork chop, so the dad took the gun out. Why?
Didn't you shoot it out of his mouth?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you're changing everything, man.
I'm not changing anything. There's nothing different about it.
Oh, are you high? If the kid's running sprints and the guy's got the gun out, now to make your story work, I gotta know that the kid has got a pork chop hanging out of his mouth and the father's trying to shoot the pork chop out of his mouth. What is this, William Tell?
Who's he?
In any event, our producer is Jason Rantz.
Who's he?
Our technical director, Charles Wigan.
And who's he?
And our associate producer, Dan Northcraft.
And who's he?
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video as soon as Time Warner has it back up again every day.
Phil Hendry.